call your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.
Hello and welcome to the Secret Vibe Lounge. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Come in, come in, come in. So glad to have you here. And for the newcomers, just want to let you know that Vibe is an acronym for Vision, Intention, Belief and Expectation, because these are the attributes that you get to change in a positive way in this environment. And it's important to check your vibe, because your vibe, which is your energy in motion, it's a language, determines what you attract. So if you're in a mode of complaining right now, you need to switch it up, because you will attract more reasons to complain. Switch it up and just simply ask yourself, what do I want? To get yourself straight back into alignment. Line up those emotions with what you want. Now, because I talk about vibrations so much, which is your energy in motion, explaining that your emotions are a language and that it's important that you communicate how you feel to another person in order for them to truly hear you, a person needs to express their feelings. So researching in this area, I looked at the 10 ways in which a person finds it difficult to express how they feel. And when I was researching this, I just thought to myself, wow, I fit into so many of these different categories. And it really brought an awareness to my mind of the things that we do. And so I'm going to share with you these reasons as to why we find it difficult to express our feelings and the solution to it. So as I'm expressing it, as I'm about to express these reasons, I want you to actually look at it and think to yourself, where do I fit in? Which of these categories or multiple of categories do I actually fit into? Now, let's just own it. Not everyone finds it easy to express their feelings. I see myself as an introvert, and I've had to constantly work on how to express my feelings because of what I was taught growing up. We were all taught how to be growing up, you know, the environment that we were born into, culture, the influences around us, parents, teachers, social media, TV. They all influence us in a way as to how to actually express our feelings. And so people find it difficult to express their feelings in a way that comes naturally. So while the stereotype is that men, as we know, have the hardest time expressing their emotions, and women tend to be the reverse, everyone at one time, at some point in their life, have found it difficult to say how they feel. So that's why it's important to learn, especially if you have trouble expressing your feelings, how you can actually go about changing that. But of course, first of all, you have to identify the problems that you have, the problem areas. So it's something that you can learn how to do and how to improve on it. Okay, so let's just look at some of the reasons why people find it difficult to express their emotions. So I found this article online. And, you know, when I was reading it, I was like, wow. yes, I think that this would be a great, 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 great article to share. So I'm just going to break it down. So the first thing is conflict, what they call conflict phobia. And that is when you're afraid of angry feelings or the conflicts that you can experience with other people. Now, when I heard that, that really resonated with me. You're afraid of angry feelings or the conflicts with people. And I thought of myself as a child growing up, and I didn't like it when I saw my dad get angry. For me, that represented I was going to be in pain. So my brain linked anger with pain. Anger with pain. So therefore, in order for me not to feel pain, then I didn't want to be subject to another person's angry feelings. And so I was afraid of someone's angry feelings. So it's amazing when you look back and you can see how your past determines your present or determines how you show up as an adult. Those learnings never go away unless you actually pull it up out of the dark, the darkness of our subconscious, look at it, and then we have a choice to change it. So it's called conflict phobia. So you may believe that people with good relationships shouldn't engage in fights, and that they shouldn't have intense arguments or throw pots and pans. And you may believe that disclosing your thoughts and feelings to those you care about actually will result in them rejecting you. And so to avoid the rejection, you avoid verbal fights or arguments. And often what's that's referred to as the ostrich. You know, when they say you know you're like an ostrich, because the ostrich dips its head into the sand to avoid the situation entirely. So as you bury your head in the sand, you do that instead of actually addressing the problem in the relationship. Now, the other one that I came across is emotional perfectionism. And this is where you believe that you shouldn't have feelings of anger, jealousy, anxiety. You shouldn't feel depression. And you think that you should be always rational and in control of your emotions. And you're afraid of being exposed as weak and vulnerable. But the thing is, we are all of these things, aren't we? These are the things that actually define us. It's not just the positive stuff. It's also what we deem as negative stuff. You know, Byron Katie says, loving what is. It's about self-acceptance. So you believe that people will reject you if they know how you really feel. And that's termed as emotional perfectionism. The other one is a fear of disapproval and rejection. So you're absolutely terrified by rejection. And just the thought of ending up alone, you would rather actually just keep your feelings suppressed and put up with abuse and really not even take the chance to have somebody get angry with you. You can feel an excessive need to people please and to meet what you perceive to be their expectations. So you're always wanting to please that other person. You're always wanting to meet their expectations. You put them on a pedestal and not yourself. Okay. And you're afraid, again, that people won't like you if you express your thoughts and feelings. Interesting, isn't it? Maybe you can relate to that one. And then there's passive and aggressive behavior. Again, I'm going to put my hands up. this is where you hold your hurt or angry feelings inside instead of disclosing what you feel. And you give others the silent treatment, which is inappropriate and a common strategy to elicit feelings of guilt on their part. I have to put my hands up to that one as doing that in the past. And when you think about a lot of the relationship strategies online, they actually say to you, oh, you know, give that person the cold shoulder, or, you know, cut that person off. And that is actually passive and aggressive behavior, because you're doing it with the intent to control. You see, now this is the difference. When you're doing it with intent to control that person's behavior, which is inappropriate, and you're essentially not allowing that person to be who they are, it can be deemed as manipulative. Now, on the other side, when you cut somebody off, or you give somebody the silent treatment with the intent of, say, for example, you've met a narcissistic person, and if you understand how NPD works, you have to cut that person off because you don't want to be their supply anymore. Narcissistic people tend to take and take and take and take, and so you have to cut those people out of your life. I'm not talking about that sort of cutting off, as it were, because that is productive. That's you going into self-preservation. And I wouldn't really call that the silent treatment, because it's not a treatment, it's a cutting off. So please don't confuse the two. So when you give others the silent treatment, it's a common strategy to elicit feelings of guilt. And, you know, throughout my journey in learning how to be as I am now, I had to learn that that was not the right way to be. Okay? That is passive aggressive behavior. Now, the next one is hopelessness. So you're a person who is convinced that your relationship cannot improve. No matter what you do, it's not going to improve. It's not going to improve. And you may have tried every avenue that you possibly can to make this relationship work. Nothing works. And you believe that your partner is just too stubborn, too insensitive, too non-empathic to change. But the thing is that when you believe something, do you remember I always say that your beliefs want to be actualized? Then it becomes then like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You attract in that which supports that belief. Yeah, like attracts like. And so hopelessness is one of the reasons that you find it hard to express how you feel. And another one, very common one, is low self-esteem. You believe that you're not entitled to express your feelings or to ask others for what you want. You think you should always please other people and meet their expectations. Oh my gosh, I can so agree with that. That is how I used to be. That is what low self-esteem is. I had to teach myself how to ask for what I want. I still struggle with it, believe it or not, even now. Again, it was something that I was taught when I was younger. How dare I ask for what I want? How dare I express my feelings? So part of increasing your self-esteem is to practice asking others for what you want, because you think that you should always be in the place where you're always pleasing other people and meeting their expectations. Again, it's about putting that person on a pedestal and seeing yourself as subservient to them, and that you should be serving them. No. So let's raise that low self-esteem today. And then there's spontaneity. You believe this reminds me of my daughter so much. You believe that you have the right to say what you think and feel when you are upset. Now, generally, and often I have to teach my daughter this, is that you can express, or the best way to express your feelings, when you're calm and in a very structured or semi-structured way, to deliver how you feel in that way. But my daughter is really, really like an emotional type. And as a person described her once, she wears her feelings on her sleeve. If she's angry, you know about it. If she's sad, you know about it. And sometimes it can come across as almost manipulative. You know, even that, maybe that's not her intention. So for those who can agree with spontaneity, if you're able to structure your communication, it then doesn't result in people perceiving you as a drama queen, drama king, or attempting to inappropriately manipulate others. Now, the next one is a big one. Mind reading. How many of you know people that, and you know, I've heard men say this so many times in regard to women. Men have said to me that women expect them to read their minds. Now, with this, you believe that others should know how you feel and what you need. I'm going to say that again. You believe that others should know how you feel and what you need. Again, it's a process, isn't it? Again, I used to think like that at one point. How can a person know how you feel and what you need for sure? It's actually laughable now that I'm actually thinking about it. And what's kind of like crazy about it is that you haven't disclosed what you need, and yet you expect someone else to know what you need. That's the irony of it. The position that individuals close to you somehow should know is so wrong that this can actually cause relationships to break down. So I'm going to read what it actually says here. It says, the position that individuals close to you can divine what you need provides an excuse to engage in non-disclosure and thereafter to feel resentful because people do not appear to care about your needs. What reality are you living in when you think like that? Incredible. That's got me thinking, that one. So yes, that one is something I think that we can all relate to. The position that individuals close to you can somehow decipher what you need without you even engaging with them to tell them what you need. And then you actually feel resentful towards them for not knowing what you want. It actually sounds crazy, right? No wonder guys call women crazy. And the next one is what's defined as martyrdom. Now, martyrdom is when you're afraid to admit that you're angry, afraid to admit that you're hurt, afraid to admit that you're resentful because you don't want to give the person the satisfaction of knowing that his or her behavior is unacceptable. You don't want to give the person the satisfaction of knowing that his or her behavior is unacceptable. And you take pride in controlling your emotions and experiencing hurt or resentment, which doesn't support functional communication. And the last one is, which is number 10, the need to solve problems. When you have a conflict with a person, when you engage in conflict and you know, your needs are not being met, clearly. You avoid the issues. You avoid the issues because you don't want the conflict. Disclosing your feelings and being willing to listen without judgment to the other is constructive. Again, this is about suspending judgment. Suspend your judgment and be able to listen willingly to the other is constructive. So this is not about you avoiding associated issues. It's about disclosing your feelings and being open. And again, how many of you can relate to that? So avoiding the issue is not a solution. You know, as individuals, we ought to continually seek to grow ourselves. And I found that information fascinating. It's a piece written by Dr. John Grohol, and he's a clinical psychologist, and he specializes in mental health online. But I found it absolutely fascinating because I could identify myself, like I'm sure that you could as well, in those different reasons why people find it hard to express how they feel. You know, I'm always talking about emotions, that your emotions are a language. And somehow you have to find the ability to communicate your feelings, because that is you communicating your authentic self. Yes, as men and women, we're taught primarily how to do that in different ways. But men, especially men who tend to kind of hold back. I suppose the modern man is a lot different from the traditional type men from back in the day. I'm not going to disclose my age here, but you get the gist of what I'm actually saying. But still having the ability to, as even a masculine man, to express, listen, this is how I feel, and I don't like this, or, you know, we need to talk about this, can be done in a way which is very, very effective and gets your point across. I'm not for the man who conveys his feelings, I feel this, I feel this, I feel this, I feel that. That is very much a feminine approach. And for a woman who's looking for a masculine man, you know, it can be a turn off. In fact, it is a turn off. Let's just say it as it is there. So important to learn the 10 reasons that you can't really express how you feel, or you find it difficult to express how you feel. Now, one of the other reasons why you may feel, and I suppose I'm going to put this as a bonus, why you may feel it difficult to express your feelings is because you feel as if the other person's going to get defensive, or they're not actually going to hear you. So you're trying to express yourself, you're trying to talk to them about it, and as soon as you start expressing yourself, they kind of like show by their body language that they feel as if you're critiquing them. Okay, so they can actually take it the wrong way. And when that person's actually very defensive, it can feel to you as if they don't care, as if they're not prepared to actually listen to you. Then essentially what they do is they try to make you feel wrong for expressing how you feel. Now, when this behavior occurs and they feel as if it makes you feel as if they don't care, as if your feelings don't matter to them, it's actually usually a knee-jerk reaction. It's usually non-intentional. And it's more so a knee-jerk reaction, but that shields the person from feeling guilt and a sense of like self-doubt about their enoughness. So let me give you an example. Recently, somebody forgot my birthday. They forgot my birthday. And instead of acknowledging it, They just didn't say anything about it whatsoever. And when I raised it, they became quite defensive and quite snappish with me. But I was able to look past the appearance of it and realize that this person felt as if I was critiquing them when really I wasn't, because they'd been under a lot of pressure, and kind of just make them to know that it really wasn't a case that I was attacking them, but it was indicative to me that this person mindset wise was in a completely different space. So it's about having the ability to have empathy with a person and exercise compassion at the same time. And in the same token, people who are defensive, they have difficulty taking responsibility for their actions, and they feel uncomfortable being wrong. There's that word wrong again. Wrong. I don't believe in wrong or right. I just believe that person is just looking at things from their particular perspective. And you know, I've mentioned my book before, Perspective. I'll tell you a little bit about that in a little while. But when they feel uncomfortable about being wrong, it's because they feel as if in accepting responsibility would make them feel as if they have failed. Okay, when they feel that they have somehow not done something right, they feel as if they failed you in some way, so therefore they then get very, very defensive. And also, even when you think about defensive behavior, it can stem from a really tough childhood or a traumatic past. It can serve as a trigger for somebody when someone starts to speak about their feelings and the other person then perceives it as an attack. And so they therefore go into defense mode. So often as a child growing up, some are actually entertain defensive behavior because they've been taught to look at or to react to life through a negative lens. And usually you'll find that kids, they develop that behavior as a way to cope with difficult situations. Then it just kind of like becomes a bad habit as they turn into an adult. And really, when you look at the basis of it, it's often because they don't feel good enough, and also because of a low self-esteem, which hinges right at its root from the feeling of not good enough. Now, referring back to my book Perspective, which I just mentioned just now, Perspective is my new and upcoming book. There's a section in there, a chapter that's just devoted to how your feelings affect the way that you see the world, because what you see, how you feel determines what you see, and what you see determines what you judge, and what you judge determines the way in which you look at the world and how you interact with the world. And I go in much more depth in that particular chapter in the book. So look out for Perspective. You can go to www.valerieacampbell/perspective. And delve right in. The book is also available for purchase at www.valerieacampbell/pre-order-page. So head over there right now and get your copy. So this is a period through COVID-19. I'm in Hackney, just letting you know a little bit what's happening right here in London. And gosh, in the area that I am, apparently things are spiking again.
Call your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.